Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer. We're here live at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas, and it's NBA Summer League time. That's why one of my favorite NBA vets is here, the amazing Al Harrington. But not only is he an NBA vet, he's a great guy and a great entrepreneur. Viola Brands, Rebrand, is that right?
Replay.
Yes, sir. Al understands how to make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun, especially in the wellness industry, to help give that gift of healthspan and distinguish healthspan from lifespan. Al, welcome back to the playbook.
Thanks for having me, man. I miss you, man. It's been too long.
Well, that's what active people do, right?
Right.
We're like a trolley. You know, when you reunite, though, it's like right. we have.
Right. I feel like I just saw you yesterday.
Like your boy from high school. and that's a huge compliment to me. So,
yes, sir.
Understanding the transition, you're in it now. You're an entrepreneur more than a basketball player, and you have a purpose-driven business. How important is it as you evolved as an entrepreneur, as a business person, to bring that purpose that you brought on the court to the business that you're in?
I think it's just when you think about it, like that's all I've ever known, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the way I, you know, cared about basketball and the passion that I had about basketball and trying to get better and just, you know, just trying to be the best version of myself at all times. I tell people all the time, like, you know, I would have died on a basketball court. That's how much
you're like Ray Lewis of basketball.
Yeah, like that's how much I loved it. Like I loved it that much. You know what I'm saying? Like if somebody told me that maybe I have a health issue and I shouldn't play, I probably would still try to play. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that, you know, after I was done playing basketball, that I could find something that meant that much to me was a blessing. You know what I'm saying? And it's something that I've really embraced. And I just try to continue just the way in my career, I try to continue to get better at it every single day. Every single year, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like in business and anything in life, you know, when you become complacent and when you think that you've arrived and you your way is the best way and is the only way, that's when you get passed up, you know? So that's what I've just tried to do. And, you know, from a health and wellness standpoint, you know, we always talk about generational wealth, right? But generational wealth is worth nothing if you don't have generational health.
Love that.
You know what I'm saying? So that's where I look at, you know, all the products that I make and the things that I'm a part of is always trying to, you know, fill some type of a void where it's just going to make people's lives better overall, you know, on an everyday basis.
Every time I see you, I think of my mom because my mom had this saying that was so applicable to my life. And it was, you're either humble or you're about to be,
right?
You know, that's a good and one. I live that life.
Right.
My mom made sure I knew that lesson again and again. And I still remind myself at 58 years old, when you said you haven't arrived,
right,
that humility is so important. Within the context of humility comes lessons. And as good as you were in basketball, you were still learning late in your career different lessons, and you brought that over as well. What are some of the bigger lessons that you've learned off the court in being an entrepreneur? Are there any glaring lessons that you wish a mentor like David Meltzer would have said, hey, man, why didn't you tell me about this?
You know, it's really tough, right? You know, I think you know, I like to, you know, always compare things to sports, right?
Yeah, so me too.
In basketball, we play 82 games, right? And, you know, you're not, no one's ever went 82 and
hopefully you play more.
Right. Yeah. But you know, a season is 81 season, games, right? To start, and you can't win them all. Right. And when you lose a game, it's like you lost the game, but it's really, you have to take the lesson from why you lost. Mm. Right. And that's what I think that I've been able to do away from the game, is not look at losses as just a loss and complete, just a failure. It's more of a lesson. It's like, how can I get better from what just happened to me in that moment? And, you know, having that approach has definitely allowed me to grow a lot faster, not beat myself up. Because, you know, as an entrepreneur, it's tough. I tell people all the time, like, basketball was the easiest money I think I'll ever make in my life. You know, when I think about it, it's like the playing in the game where you actually saw me was the cherry on top. What I really enjoyed was the work, was the practice,
yes,
was all those different things, that process. That's the part that I really fell in love with. And then I got a chance to show you all the new things I worked on. I was able to show you in front of 20,000 people. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, and as an entrepreneur, you kind of have to kind of have that same mindset. You got to fall in love with the work first. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is no such thing as an overnight success. Like, we see all these brands that have blown up and you're like, oh, this is here now. This is, oh, amazing. Then you go talk to the founder and they're like, you know, I started this in 2003.
Right.
2026.
Went broke twice.
You know what I'm saying? Right, like, it's been two decades that I've been growing this business. And even with me, with my cannabis business, right? You know, in the beginning, you know, you know, thinking I'm going to have all this immediate success. And we did, right? You know, we were a brand. Everybody was knowing us. But then all these different things happened. And we just had to continue to, who's that Carla Thicke? Yeah. Mix in five, baby. Yeah. Mix in five. Mix in five. But, you know, going through those things and just understanding like things are going to go up and down. You just got to continue to fight, continue to get better, you know, learn from those lessons and just try not to make those mistakes again has allowed, you know, this company to be here, you know, 13 years later.
So good. I can't believe it's 13 years and I've known you that long. It's interesting because you talk about the passion that you had for playing basketball. So many people like me have the same passion for their sport, but they don't have the skills, the knowledge, the equipment to do what they need to do. I was a below average college football player, but I learned more about being successful by learning to love what I didn't like or love about what I loved, right? That process. Nobody likes or love getting taped or watching film or sometimes practicing. But if you can learn to love that, championship. I was with Nick Saban the other day and he said this amazing thing. And I actually thought, you know, knowing you're going to be here, I thought of you. He said, you know, Dave, after the beginning of my career as a coach, I just wanted championships. So I would do whatever it took inside and outside the rules, as we know, to win championships, right? Pre-NIL, forgive him. Anyway, but when I realized my job was to build champions, because champions win championships. And one of the things that great champions do is they build themselves. And you seem to be that guy that you're a champion because you're constantly working on yourself to be a champion. And you know, it's just a matter of time till the championship. What are some of the key attributes, human attributes that you think are common in all champions?
I think that, like to your point, right? I can't expect somebody to do something that I'm not willing to do, right? So along my process, I got to be willing to do it all, take every step, whether it's cleaning the floors, whether it's hanging the pictures.
Well, you got to hang the pictures. Nobody else can reach that high.
Right, right. But you got to be willing to put in the work, you know? And I just think that it's almost a thing of like, you know, leading by example. Right. And that's one of the things that I always say when I first came in the locker room with Reggie Miller. That's the one thing that just stuck out to me. Him and Chris Mullin, every day they did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Every day. No matter if they had a good day, no matter if it was a bad day, no matter if they were arguing with their significant others, whether the kids were killing, bothering them, even if they were hurt, they went through the same process every day. And me seeing that and seeing guys that were so established at their points in their careers, right? You know, they could have easily just packed it in and just like, we've arrived and we're here, we're the guys and it doesn't matter, right? They never took that approach, you know? And, you know, seeing that, it just molded me. And that's something that I'll never forget. And it's something that I try to instill in everybody around me, everybody that's within my organization, and even my children. You know what I'm saying? It's just understanding that, you know, nothing is worth having without hard work. And you can't keep nothing if you're not willing to fight for it and continue to keep it there and continue to uplift it, you know? And, you know, because of that mindset, you know, I feel like, you know, our organization has continued to grow. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you have a lot of bumps in the road. The world changes fast and you got AI now and you become more efficient as a company and different things like that. But at the same time, you know, I just feel like the people that, you know, that work closest with me, I feel like they've all been able to elevate. And I think it's all been because of the way that they see the things that I'm willing to do first and then what I expect from them.
One of the other things that we share is a prioritization of health first, then family. Mm-hmm. So much of your business intertwined with your family, if I recall correctly, with Viola especially. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, the understanding that we have to take care of ourselves to take care of others. When we become immersed in a consciousness of entrepreneurship, when we're immersed in it, a lot of people, you talk about being or feeling that we've arrived. You know, go back in history and look at the people who had the best record during the season, how few teams who had the best record win the championship.
Right.
It's really weird, right? New England, Golden State, all in baseball all the time.
Right.
It happens. But we lose track of what's most important. For you, how do you, number one, make sure that you keep a focus on what's important to you, but two, with your children especially, making sure that they're empowered to have that same mindset, heart set, and handset that you had so that they live passionate, purposeful, and profitable lives?
It's an ongoing process, right? You know, I can't say that I have the answer to that. It's
We'd be rich if you know, did. We're still, we are, but that's okay. Right.
We're still figuring it out, you know? Yeah. But, you know, to your point of like taking care of yourself first, you know, that it has to be the most important thing. Right? Because if you're not healthy and you can't perform or be able to be that example I'm talking about, nothing can work behind it. You know what I'm saying? You are the most important thing. But then also, to your point, being humble enough and having enough humility to also be consciously thinking about others. Right? And, you know, with my kids, you know, I have a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 10, and an 8-year-old. My girls are the oldest. My boys are the youngest.
We're the same.
And, yeah, and my daughters, you know, my oldest daughter, she's a handful, you know what I'm saying? But she's just a kid that's just, like, trying to search. She's trying to find herself, right? Yeah. Which is cool. You know, sometimes it's frustrating. But, you know, as a parent, as a father, and then with my wife, you know, we're just trying to give her the space, but also give her the opportunity to go out there and find herself, right? Then I have a 15-year-old who's a stud at soccer, right? I'm actually wearing her clothing line, Believers, mm-hmm. right now.
Nice.
And she made a faith-based clothing line,
oh,
right?
Shit. And I should have her on my podcast.
Yeah, you gotta have her next. So, please. You know, I'm actually going to Seattle tomorrow for her national playoffs or whatever for wow. soccer. And, you know, we reclassified her a year up. So now she has like every school in the country, you know, recruiting her or whatever. And, you know, just like having the conversations with her a lot of times of like what she wants to be and how she sees things. Even with the clothing line, where I brought it up was like, I just said, let's make a clothing line for soccer, for girls for soccer. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's a void there. I feel like it's, you know, not enough attention there. And she started drawing things and everything came back with crosses on it and all this. And I'm like, well, what is this? Why you keep, where's the soccer balls?
Yeah, right, right.
She's like, no, Dad, I want it to be faith-based.
I love
She's like, I want it to be about God first. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, for me, like, it was just, you know, it almost took my breath away when she first told me. And I'm like, damn, what am I doing that's, or what are me and my wife doing, or what's happening around her that's making her look at the world like this, and that's her priority.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just a beautiful thing. And, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, as parents, right, you know, we're moving so fast and we got so much going on that it's hard for us to even kind of smell our own flowers of like what we're actually producing, you know, so with good. The young people around us, because, you know, we have our businesses and we have our, you know, our employees, and it's like they're more of a focus a lot of times, it seems like. But my point being is I feel like my daughter's actually watching what I'm doing and having a respect for it. You know what I'm saying? That. And that just amazing. Then I have my boys, and you know, they're 10 and 8, so I'm not gonna talk about it. I'm trying to figure it out still.
Got three girls and one boy. Yeah, my youngest 16, so I know exactly.
Yeah, but it's just beautiful to see those kind of things, man. And you know, I just hopefully I can continue to be an example for them to continue to make decisions like that. You know what I'm saying?
It's so true. I told my mom before she passed, I said, Mom, I don't think I ever listened to you, and I just want your forgiveness, but I will tell you this, as I get choked up thinking about it, I watched her yeah. for 57 years.
Yes, sir.
And that's who made me who I am. Just yep. every day watching her, and my faith has been strengthened and clarified 20 years ago. If it wasn't for my mom right. telling me, God does not punish you. He protects you, promotes you, loves and perfects you. You got to figure it out.
Yes, sir.
Right? I was 40 years old and she told me that 18 years ago and yeah. changed my life. So you are a great leader. Your companies are amazing. Viola Brands and Replay. Yeah. Check them out.
Yeah.
But especially give our props to a great man on the court, off the court, for his family and his community, helping so many people with the number one priority of health. Al, just promise me that we won't have this long of a lag between our friendship. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yes, sir, brother. You know, anytime you call, I'm answering, man. So good to see you, man.
Great to see you.
And you don't age either.
Yeah, I love it.
You look good, dog.
I just wish I was as tall as this man. Just before I finish, I just have to tell you, you'll laugh. Most basketball players do. I have three daughters.
Yep.
One rule. They can marry whoever they want.
Right.
But if the boy is not over 6 feet, I'm not paying. they got to figure it out. I'm not paying. I'm changing the Melcher genetics.
You're making an investment.
Exactly. No more 5'2 to 5'7. I'm the tall, dark, and handsome one. So is he. This is David Meltzer with Al Harrington here at the Wynn in Las Vegas in the SiriusXM studios with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.